If you'd like to support this ministry, you'll find information at the end of this podcast. So now we're going to talk about the difference between a natural world and a spiritual world, a natural man and a spiritual man, Jesus Christ. So we've had a natural world functioning for eons, and we know that the earth was in a bad place, or it was void and without form, had no functionality, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And then the Spirit of God moved upon that darkness and said, "Let there be light." And then God started creating again this world, or giving it functionality. Then he put a man in the garden, and then he created a woman for the man. But they fell, and they were unable to access God anymore. So God, he sent angels to protect them and to look after them. He called them watchers. And then man started to multiply upon the earth. And then angels left their first job, or the first habitation, or the first operation, and they married into women, and they had offspring which were giants and all sorts of twisted formed creatures. The Bible talks about in Enoch, the book of Enoch. And the book of Enoch is mentioned in the Bible by Jude. In the New Testament, he says, "Behold, Jesus comes with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment." That is a direct quote from Enoch. And then Enoch talks about angels that are kept in reserve for judgment. That's all about, talks about, that comes out of Enoch. And then Enoch explains in greater detail, probably Genesis chapter 6, where it talks about the Nephilim, and talks about the giants. And the earth was corrupt. The DNA of mankind was corrupt. So then God finds a human being whose DNA is not corrupt, and he tells him to build an ark. So he builds an ark, and then he destroys all of creation except for those in the ark and the animals. Then he tells Noah to go and replenish the earth, and he makes a covenant with Noah. Then Noah and all his children, his three children, have grandsons, and they have children, and they started to form all nations on the earth, or groups of people. And then someone had a bright idea to build a tower, Tower of Babel. And they thought that they could reach God with their fallen nature. But God said, "That's not going to happen." So he confused their languages and dispersed them amongst all the world. And they all carried the flood and the creation story all through their teachings. You had the American Indians, you got the Incas, you got all of these people in South America. They weren't there after the flood. They came after. They were descendants from Noah. Noah replenished the earth. South America didn't get out of the flood. The whole world was covered. So when Noah came out of the ark, there was nobody on the earth except Noah and his family. That's it. So all you see now come from Adam and Eve, then to Noah, then everybody died, and out of Noah came all we see now. So all of those nations have flood stories, and they were all disconnected from God, and they were all have twisted ideas, and all of their gods and all those other things come from ancestor worship. If you follow those lines, you'll find that the nations broke into about 70 different groups. So God says to to Abraham, I want to take you out of the nations, and I want to make a nation unto myself. And I want to showcase that nation, and they'll be the Hebrew nation, and I'll give them promises. And that, out of that showcased nation, which is the Jews, I want all the other world, or I want all the other people in the world to see what God can do with a group of people, a group of rebellious people. So as he did that, he made promises to Abraham, and he said, I'll bless them that bless you, and I'll curse them that curse you. So now we have all the nations around the world that curse Israel, and they get cursed themselves. Those that bless Israel get blessed. Why do you think Donald Trump's administration is powering along so wonderfully? Why is his economy and everything else flourishing better than it ever has in all of American history? Because Donald Trump honors Israel and supports and protects Israel, and he knows the promises of God. Now, he's not even a Christian, I don't know, but he's being tutored by people who know their Bible and know prophecy, and they're explaining these things to him. So they call him Cyrus. But you know, you got to remember that Cyrus, although he looked after Israel, he was an idolater. He was a person who worshipped other gods. He didn't worship the God of Israel. He worshipped other gods. But God used Cyrus, King Cyrus, in Babylon to send the Israelites or the Hebrews back to Jerusalem to rebuild it. That's what they're doing now. But all of that is a natural thing. But there was a man, Jesus, who came to the earth and said, I want to show you the spiritual realm. I want to show you who will listen to me, how that you can be born again and not go through the endless cycle of naturally dying and people being born and then growing up and dying. I want to show you where you can have eternal life. And I want to display unto you the kingdom of God. I want to show you how a natural man can be a spiritual man and have an eternal existence. So Jesus Christ walked on the earth and demonstrated the kingdom of God. He showed how the kingdom of God can transform natural things. He was the first fruits of a new creation, which is us. So we're part of that new creation. We're part of those people who are born from heaven and not from earth. We're born from above and not beneath. Unfortunately, none of us have access to the things in heaven because we've been taught by natural men, natural theology. So that natural theology won't get us heaven stuff. It won't get us heavenly stuff at all. It will keep us earthly bound by being taught natural things. By people who so-called are spiritual people, we're just going to be dudded out all the time. The Bible says, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. From such turn away. So they speak about godly stuff, but they deny the power, the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. From such, run a mile away from them. So the Holy Spirit was sent to mankind because mankind can't be trusted with passing on the truths of heaven. Mankind wants to add his little bit to it and muddy up the water. Mankind can't be trusted to pass on a heavenly story. So the Holy Spirit moved on man, and as they wrote in the Bible, which we have now, which is a breathed on by God book, and we have the inspiration of God. And he did that. And now we could read the Bible. And we can go directly to God and get the Holy Spirit, who would teach us about heavenly things and not about natural things. He is the Spirit of Truth. So as we pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit goes to work on all of the natural thinking ideas that we have and pulls down the strongholds and causes us to have a heavenly vision if we stick to the plan that God has and not to the plan that man has. Man's plan is go to church, do nothing, hear about the promises but never access them, never have the opportunity to step into those things, because nobody in the church truly knows how to do that. But what we've done is we've gone back to the Bible and said, how do you want it done, God? He said that God is a spirit. Jesus said to the woman at the well, for God is a spirit and he seeks such to worship him in spirit and truth. The time will come when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. So we don't worship him through natural means, although we use our mouth, but it is inspired by the Holy Spirit. So we're heavenly beings. Jesus was the first fruit. He showed us how to do it. He has entered into the heavenly realm. So all we have to do is follow his example. He said, if you keep my sayings, you'll be able to enter into that heavenly place. Count every man a liar, but God's word true. Jesus is the word of God, and the word of God is Jesus. They're not separate. They're together. You can't separate them. Now, man's ideas, man's teaching, man's concepts, man's stronghold thinkings, and strongholds are systems of thoughts. The Bible also talks about being taught in the last days, many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, you know, doctrines of devils. We don't want doctrines about the heavenly or the spiritual realm given to us by demons. We want doctrines of the heavenly realm given to us by the only agency that has authority to speak on behalf of God, and he is the Holy Spirit. So we set our affections on heaven and not on the earth, and we let the Holy Spirit destroy all of the false concepts that are in our life. By praying in tongues, he prays over us personally, knowing the exact prayers that will affect all of this and bring it to pass. So the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were formed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. The earth wasn't made by itself. No, there was a spiritual realm that created the natural things. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So the earth didn't make itself. Something else made it. It was the word of God. It was Jesus. Then it talks in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. That's the spiritual realm. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So our affections are supposed to be on the things that we don't see with the natural eye, but we can access those things through the mind of the Spirit. We can access those things through the mind of Christ. We can access those things if we pray and have the eyes of our understanding opened, and we don't frame our understanding or our concept of existence by the world we see, but by the heavenly realm. And that comes by faith. And the Holy Spirit when we pray, forms an image inside of us that we can see. And as we pray, the image gets stronger and more clearer, more vivid. And we see through the mind of Christ into the spiritual realm. We see the true concepts of life, the true issues of life. And we walk in those things which bring eternal life. It says in another version, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." So now we see everything in this world, and we know that somebody must have made it. So we seek our affections above, finding out who is this person that made it. His name is Jesus. Because the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made by him, and there was nothing that was not made." So all we have to do is set our affections on Jesus. There's no other deity, no other God, no other anything in the spiritual realm that we need except Jesus. Because he is the exact image or the express image of God. He is expressing to us who God is, his attributes and his image and his form. Jesus and God, they have a form. And the frame that they're in looks like a human, because God fashioned us in the form of him. We don't look like a horse. We don't look like a cow or a grasshopper. We look like a man. God is a man. That's the frame that he takes up. So we take upon ourselves the frame of mankind. When we're born again, born from above, of water and of spirit, we have access to the heavenly realm. And our whole thinking, or what frames our concept of reality, gets changed or upgraded to a heavenly reality. So God made everything around us so that we could understand and make sense of our reality. And the kingdom of God is the same. It has a similar reality. There is food. That, you know, when Jesus comes back, he's coming back on a horse. The Bible talks about thrones. So there's government. The Bible talks about angels warring. So there's warfare. The Bible talks about a tree and a garden that comes from the garden of paradise, and a river flowing from that place. So there are rivers, just like here on earth. It's not really different, but super duper upgraded in such a way that it makes this realm useless. It's only a shadow of the real tree. It's only a shadow of the real thing. And the real thing made this shadow, this earth, or this existence. This existence is temporal. The Bible says in Revelations, there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, and the former things will pass away. There'll be an eternal, stable environment, which is the new heaven and new earth. So as we pray in tongues and we transform ourselves so that we can think clearly, we access the things of the heavenly, and then we operate in them. We walk in them. We have our understanding in them. We move and have our being in Jesus, who is the prototype of the new heavenly man. But if we take upon ourselves the image of religion, we become earthbound. And we're unable to access the things of heaven. We might get little bits and pieces here and there, but to be fully unhindered in our access, we need to fashion ourselves like Jesus through the Holy Spirit, because he is the Spirit of truth. So as we do that, as we behold his image, Jesus' image, who he truly is, and he's the express image of God, we are transformed from glory to glory. We're moved into a position where we have greater access to the heavenly realm, to the heavenly kingdom. As we behold his glory, we're transformed from glory to glory. As we behold his image, as we behold who he is and how he functions, and his value system, as we behold the personality of Jesus, because he's the first fruit. He was a forerunner. A forerunner is someone who goes into a place and sets up something for the rest of everybody else. Jesus was a forerunner. He went into the heavens, and he now is setting up everything for us. And he doesn't say, wait until you die when I come back. He says, now come up. Come up, be seated in heavenly places. Have a spiritual understanding and walk in that, and transform this world here by the power of the kingdom of God. That's basically the whole plan. Jesus is on a rescue mission to rescue humankind, to bring him into an eternal existence. That's what Jesus is all about. And everything that God is good. Now the enemy, which is demons and Satan and all the fallen angels, all they want to do is throw a spanner into the works. They want to stop everything from happening. They want to cause us to falter and to trip over. But Jesus lifts his hand down and lifts us up and causes us every time we fall and stumble to come up and stand up straight and have stability through the Holy Spirit. Jesus overcame all the world, and if we look to him and his transforming life in us, we'll become more than overcomers as well. So we'll just leave that there. So if you'd like to partner with Don and I and help support us, just go to the bottom of this page and click on support.